walking around my small town in a keffiyeh with a Protect the Palestinians homemade tank top. This is not the light. This is the light. Yes, hello, Southern Oregon.
Yep, that's a real video. That's a thing. That's happening. Yep, that's out there, ladies and gentlemen. That exists in this world. Well, welcome back to another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. Israel just bombed the crap out of Qatar, targeting Hamas leadership. Was the U.S. even... did we know about it? I think we did. We're going to talk about that coming up here in a little bit. We also ended up seeing over inside Israel a huge warning that Netanyahu put out to everybody over in Gaza City, telling them to get the heck out of Dodge. Now, with the leaflets being dropped the other day, with the bombing taking place over inside of Doha, and with everything else that we know that's going on, it looks like Israel is about to just go right ahead and go in to Gaza City. I don't think they're going to give them any more time to get out of there. Now, could this be coming at a worse time for the world? Because they're about to lose one of their biggest supporters. I don't know if you guys are tracking what's going on over in France, but they're about to have a change in their government as well.
What we did today, i.e. overthrow a government, is a victory for the popular mobilization here during the summer. In 2 days, we will have a major movement. Tomorrow, we will ask for impeachment of Macron. The problem for the country is Mr. Macron. The day after tomorrow, we will be in the streets to block the country's economy, to say this is enough.
Yep, they're about to vote to kind of like boot him out of freaking office. So Macron, the guy that was over inside of the Sinai Peninsula, advocating for the Palestinian people and worshiping the ground that they walk on, the one that's been running around screaming about war crimes and all the other crap. Yep, he's on his way out. Looks like the French have had enough of him. So he's done. I like how somebody just wrote in the comment section, said there is no Palestine. You are correct. You are correct. And we can go back to historical times. We go to present day times and go a million different locations. Also got some updates for you guys on the Freedom Flotilla when we get done talking about the bombing that took place over inside of Doha. Let me just go ahead and get the actual, you know what? Let's just, for reference, I think we need to get some background on what the heck Hamas is actually doing over inside of there. During the Tucker Carlson interview with, what the hell is it? The prime minister, whatever, over inside Qatar, he ended up saying that the reason that Hamas has a political office was inside of Qatar. It was at the request of the United States government. I looked it up. That goes all the way back to 2012 underneath the Obama administration. So back in 2012, the Obama administration likely is going to be the ones that ended up requesting this office to be open. Well, everything's changed since. Ladies and gentlemen, every single thing has changed since. Linda Liu at number 444 in the chat, and it's at 999. Portal. I don't even know what that means, Linda Liu. So, what does that mean? Well, that means Hamas has had an enduring presence over inside of Doha, and they've been using this political office, right, throughout the entire conflict. They've been using it to negotiate in order to get some of their hostages released. The problem is that they haven't really been negotiating in a very long period of time. The only negotiating that Hamas wants to have is Israel completely and totally withdraws from the Gaza Strip in exchange for all of the hostages, and they are allowed to live on and continue to do whatever they want inside Gaza. They can rebuild their military, they can but Israel's got to stay out, and they get their own little sovereignty. But the problem is that they're going to continue to attack Israel. So obviously Israel's not going to take them up on that offer. It's just not going to happen. This is a view of what Hamas looked like inside of Qatar on October 7th.
هذا المنظر طلع طلع يا بولي سخين شباب نجيبه جايبين طلع 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 جيب الاسرائيلي حاطينه دخل على المنظر لا
لا سجدة الشكر ان شاء الله على هذا النصر. By the way, you guys see this gentleman right here, right there, that kind of chubby guy right there? Yeah, he died today. We're gonna get there.
اللهم اتم نصرك وعزنا يا رب لشعبنا وامتنا الله اكبر. الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين.
So they were over there using this political office that was established by the Obama administration basically to celebrate and then to negotiate their terrorist tactics with the West. Well, it looks like the West kind of got tired of that crap today. Israel ended up bombing the crap out of them 2 days ago. Donald Trump ended up giving a warning during one of his speeches inside of the Oval Office as he's signing paperwork and whatnot. And he told them that they need to release all of the hostages or something very bad is going to happen. He let them know. He told him, and this is the same exact type of stuff that we saw taking place over with Iran. When Iran got told that they needed to negotiate and come to the table and they were refusing to do it, guess what we did? We bombed the crap out of them. Well, here, in this case, it doesn't take the U.S. to bomb the crap out of them in order to just kill these ISIS turds, or excuse me, Hamas turds, because we know where they're hiding at. But I hope Russia is taking note of what's going on right now. Before we even get into this, I hope Russia takes good note of what's going down right now. Because the U.S. policy has always been peace through strength, peace through strength. And so the problem is that people are misinterpreting that as sanctions, or I don't know what they're thinking. Secretary of War Hegseth made it very, very clear yesterday that there is the peace aspect, and that is what all of the politicians and negotiators are for and everything else. And he told the warfighters over there in the Caribbean that they are the strength. Now, if it wasn't made clear before that, if you guys didn't believe me when I told you that that is what we meant by strength, strength as in F-A-F-O, that is exactly what's taking place here. We are exercising strength, period. We are allowing Israel to do the different things that they need to do. IDF official statement ended up getting put out on this because, again, policy by Twitter is just something that ends up happening these days. IDF and the ISA conducted a precise strike targeting the senior leadership of the Hamas terrorist organization. For years, these members of the Hamas leadership have led the terrorist organization operations, are directly responsible for the brutal October 7th massacre, and have been orchestrating and managing the war against the state of Israel. Prior to the strikes, measures were taken to mitigate harm to civilians, including the use of precise munitions and additional intelligence. The IDF and ISA will continue to operate with determination in order to defeat Hamas terrorist organization responsible for the October 7th massacre. That is the statement that they ended up putting out. So if that doesn't give you Operation Summit of Fire is the name of the Qatar mission, that's great, man. Zohar, becoming a true supporter. Good to have you in the house. If that doesn't let you know that they are about to go right on Gaza City, if they haven't already done so, that to me is what's about to go down. Hamas leadership just got wiped out over in Qatar. They're done. They're wiped out. There might be one or two stragglers left floating around somewhere, but for the most part, they're wiped out. Same crap that we ended up seeing with Hezbollah up over inside of Lebanon. They ended up getting wiped out. Let's go take a look at some of the bombing, sweet, sweet bombing footage that went down over there. Incog Faraday coming in, giving out five. And Lee Shake says, love them or not, Trump and Bibi will go down as legends. I would agree with that statement. You can hate them all you want, but they're taking care of terrorism left and right today. Thumper 33, did you see the DEA arrested 600 from the Sinaloa cartel? No, I missed that. I will have to look into that because that's a big deal. So still not quite sure on how many bombs ended up getting dropped, but I'm hearing reports of 10 munitions that ended up getting dropped over inside of Doha in order to target them, all in a very, very short time frame. This is a look at one of the buildings that they were over there hiding in down on the ground. You can see where it was very precise, and I would agree, they likely used small diameter bombs in order to accomplish this. This is a very precision strike. You take a look at the buildings to the left and to the right, they don't appear to be damaged at all. You do see rocks that are thrown out of there, so on and whatnot. You can actually see through that building completely. And the amazing part is when you zoom in on this thing, let me show you guys this, you guys can actually see that the windows on the back wall have been blown out. The whole inside of this building is completely and totally charred. But the building on the backside, this continuation wall right here, you can see straight through it. So that munition was so freaking exact. It literally just took out the building itself, like the intended room where the individuals were at. That's what it took out. That bomb hit its mark. Anybody inside that thing is not happy and probably not breathing. So they're gone. More footage of these strikes coming in. Here's another one from a distance that ended up capturing moments after the first bomb ended up going off. There in that video, you can actually hear two distinct separate blasts. So a lot of people are looking at it. The only place that we've got photos of so far, unless any of you guys have them, by all means, go down underneath my name right here. All right. And tag me over on X if you guys come across new stuff from Doha. Do me a favor when you tag me, though. Give me a description of what it is you're tagging me in. That way, it helps me feed through all the crap. When you guys just end up throwing my name down there, then I got to open it up and look and try to determine what's going on. Just give me a brief description of what it is you tag me in so I can grab that stuff real quick as we go along, because it takes me a while sometimes to be able to get through there. Again, some of the images and videos of bombs going off. Was the airspace contested? I have no idea. It is possible. It is possible with the warnings from Trump and everybody else as this was going on. I don't see the United States, and I don't see the United States not working with Qatar on this, and with Israel working with Qatar on this, striking over to knock those guys out. They do have this weird take when it goes down to hosting terrorists inside of their country. So I think political leverage from the United States likely allowed Israel to go over there and do that. But at the same time, it kind of makes you wonder why Israel, if that was going to be the case, why they wouldn't be allowed to conduct some sort of a commando operation and just go and freaking, you know, go into those buildings and smoke those dudes. Why just drop bombs? Bombs are much more dangerous than just going in and smoking people for the general public that's around them. So I would assess that there's likely a bunch of like different intelligence. Now, it's also possible that Trump ended up calling over there and just saying, hey, listen, these bombs are going to fall and you're not going to do anything about it. We're going to go ahead and close down our base. We're going to yank you a support from the region and you're going to be SOL. It is possible that he ended up making some sort of statement like that right before those bombs ended up falling. And they're just like, oh, what do we do? More information like that, I'm sure, is going to come out here in the near future. Iran did it first in June. Yeah, correct. Yep. And that was one of those things that Iran ended up telling him, was like, hey, we're going to go ahead and strike in retaliation for what's going on. We're going to strike this U.S. base, though. That's what we're going to end up doing. Here's some on the ground footage, actually, outside of that one building that ended up getting schwacked.
هذا كل مجمع بال يا الله سفرك هذا هو احذى وقود اكيد وقود فجروه هذا هو المبنى الرابع.
I just gotta say, I love how even in like the Middle Eastern culture, they've gotten to the point where they just record stuff and put it on social media. All these people standing around, like you got young boys and all those other guys that are standing around. What is that, a boat? Is that a boat over there? No. I mean, it is Qatar. Is that a boat right there on the other side of that freaking trailer? I don't know, man. Look, they get some weird stuff out there. Not really quite sure what the hell they're doing inside of that neighborhood anyways. There's one thing to have like a diplomatic center for you to be able to reach out and have some conversations. It's another thing to be just, you know, out and about living in that country as a sanctuary. And that is what Qatar had been doing. Now, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but the flotilla that was on its way over to break the siege in Gaza reportedly last night said that they were bombed. Let me open this up so that you guys, I got to show you where this garbage ended up going down at. They were over in Tunisia, floating off the coast of Tunisia. And man, did I find something very, very interesting when I started looking into the lady that's organizing it, the special rapporteur to the UN, along with her husband and what they do. We'll get into that here in just a second. But yep, they were floating off the coast of Tunis, somewhere around here, measured distance from there all the way down to Gaza. All right, almost 1,400 miles, 2,000 kilometers away. They tried to claim that Israel bombed them almost 1,400 miles away, if not 1,400. I'm sure if I move the cursor a little bit and get it in there, it's probably around 1,400 miles away. Holy freaking cow. I hope you guys are ready for this freaking video that I'm about to play, because it is one of the most ridiculous things in a very long time that I've seen.
Just got hit. The vessel is on fire. Our vessel is on fire. We've been hit by what appears to be a drone. We've been hit by what appears to be a drone.
The family boat has been officially attacked. A drone came right above it, released a bomb, and it exploded, and the boat was on fire. Everyone on that boat is okay. The fire is out. But I want to tell you that this boat was the boat that every person from the Madeleine, the old Madeleine crew, was on, which is Greta, me, Tiago, Schweib, and so many more amazing people. They have bombed a boat once again with civilians on it in Tunisian territory.
Not so much, lady. Not so fast. I hate to tell you that. Now, for those of you guys that don't know, Tunisia itself, like I said, all the way over here, 1,400 miles away from Gaza, is a pro-Palestinian country. Right, they're pro-Palestinian, and in addition to that, not only are they pro-Palestinian, they're predominantly Muslim. All right, and so for them to come out and make any sort of statement otherwise should be extremely damning for the flotilla within itself. It shouldn't be one of those things that everybody just looks at and goes, oh, well, Tunisia said, you know, it didn't happen. So no, that's a big deal. When Tunisia says no, that's garbage. That means it's garbage. Flotilla for Gaza says boat struck by drone at Tunisia airport. Authorities deny the strike. Right here at the very beginning, the Global Summit Flotilla for Gaza said on Tuesday that one of its main boats was struck by a drone at the port of Tunisia, though all six passengers and crews were safe. Tunisia's interior minister said that reports of drone hitting a boat have no basis in truth, and that the fire broke out on the vessel itself. 3M Forge coming in with five Canadian doll hairs. Says, hey, brother, did you ever get a P.O. box? I'd love to send you out that stuff I made up for you. I did not get a P.O. box. I'm torn back and forth between grabbing a P.O. box. I'm thinking about a workaround on how to do that. Look what I just sent you. They're lying S sacks of garbage. It's a flare and video is out. Yeah, I know, man. Yeah, I'm aware of Texas. Believe me, it's kind of like what I look at. The video with the flare did, in fact, come out. But first, we got to listen, because this guy, I'm pretty sure this is the guy that you actually see fire the flare off in the video. So first, we're going to listen to what he actually says, and then we're going to watch him shoot the dang flare himself back down into the boat.
I was standing in the back part of the ship, the aft deck, and I heard a drone. Well, it was clearly a drone. Then I got out of the cover, saw a drone clearly about 4 meters above my head. Called someone. We were looking at the drone just above our heads, really. It stopped close to us and then moved slowly to the forward part of the ship and dropped what was obviously a bomb on the forward part of the deck. There was a huge explosion, lots of fire, big flame. We could have been killed, right? So we know that these humanitarian missions have been attacked over and over again. We know how dangerous this is. People have been killed. In Gaza, we've seen humanitarian workers, doctors, nurses, all of them having been killed. So we know the dangers that we're facing, right?
Okay, so he says he was standing on the front part of the frickin', or he's standing on the deck, and he hears a drone flying overhead, and then it just starts moving towards the front, and it drops what's obviously a bomb. According to him, it's obviously a bomb. Like, ladies and gentlemen, it's obviously a bomb from a drone that they targeted, and of course it's dangerous because they're going after him. Let's take a look at what this bomb looks like. Now that looks way worse than it really is, and you got to understand that underneath the night vision cameras, it's going to pick up all that light, so just little flares of light are going to end up setting it off. And I love how some people are already stating, yes, that is in fact a flare. And before we get into that crisis actor we just had up on the screen, I'm going to show you what actually started the fire, according to the Tunisians. This is the damage from the obvious bomb that fell on their boat. This is the damage from the obvious bomb, he stated, that fell on their boat. Obviously, it wasn't a dang bomb. This is what sparked their silly little fire. This right here. And they actually also said that it possibly started underneath the deck in some of the initial reports I was reading on this silly, silly madness. Now, I ended up, let's see here. Let me go back, because I know that one particular video that Texas is talking about, and I want to make sure that I actually have that sucker up here on the screen. Here we go. Here is your obvious bomb of the guy doing it.
Oh. 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 see that.
We've been hit.
He keeps screaming it as if him screaming it is going to make it true. Laugh out loud if that was what they're saying, that boat would have gotten sunk. Yeah, the best part too about it is that, like, in the initial video that came out, because it was like a very shortened version of it, like sparking off or whatever, you see that, like, the water around the boat's not even disturbed. Like, the boat didn't even, like, move in the water at all. There's, like, no ripples coming off of it. There's no detonation, no explosion, no nothing. Simply a flare that landed on the boat that they are claiming, you know, somehow was it. Let's go back and watch that again, because like I said, pretty sure that's the guy, right? This one that's down here, pretty sure that's him that was just there whining and complaining about obviously it being a bomb. Yep, there you go. That's it. That's where it's at. Now, I ended up writing a post a little bit earlier, and I'm going to go ahead and share it with you guys because I think it's valid, and I think you guys should share the crap out of this thing. And I ended up saying, does donating to the global Sumud flotilla support Hamas? In my opinion, yeah, it does. Here's why. They have stated that their goal is to break the siege on Gaza. This action indirectly supports Hamas, who are a designated foreign terror organization here in the United States. And by soaking up Israeli security resources, it endangers the lives of U.S. civilians on the ground in Gaza. You can actually go over and check out all of the publicly available names of who's listed on this freaking atrocity that they call a freedom flotilla. Tristan Allen says, LOL, can Israel show them what a drone is? I think that they should. Because like I said, by them going over and trying to break the siege in Gaza, you know what I'm saying? By them going over it, by the way, greater than $3.75 million have been donated to this group. I went over and I looked into the funding of them and it about freaking blew my mind. They closed it. But look at all these idiot names that are up there. And you can see like euros versus US dollars. So here you go. Young Fung ended up donating 10 US dollars, but you keep going down. And you just, yeah, you just go down and you find like the particular US dollars of whoever you want. Charles Terry, if that is his real name, donated 100, right? We can go down here. Richard Fabry donated another 100. I think that the Justice Department should look into all of these individuals that donated this money. Even Canada possibly should look into it, and they should start pulling the money out of this. Now, this website that they're raising it on, shuft.org, is actually an Australian website for like knuckleheads that are, you know, pushing their BS stuff. Christopher Poole, $500 Canadian. Look at that guy. That's a good one. Mm-hmm. Who else do we got hiding in here? Let's see. Benjamin Harmon, $50. There was one lady in particular that I'm looking for because I ended up looking her up and she's got a really unique organization that she used to work for. I forget. Well, I ended up having to go back and find it. Maybe I'll see her here in just a minute. Come on. Where are you at, lady? I forget. I've got her in my notes because I'm going to do a whole thing on this because screw them. That's why they shouldn't be donating $3.75 million to an organization that's going to get Americans killed. That benefits people that produce propaganda videos like this following a horrible terror attack over inside Israel yesterday. Now, I did just go ahead and drop it over in the chat. Sorry, I'm trying to get the sucker pinned, but you guys keep moving the dang chat. There we go. Now it's pinned up at the top of the chat. So what you guys can see that I just pinned up at the top of the chat is the post that I just referenced. And inside of that post is a link over to their website where you can go and scroll through the names, because I saw somebody else say, you know, if my company's on there, that person's dead, like whoever it is, man, whatever you're willing to do, go for it, man. Have at it. But those are publicly available names that you're more than welcome to go over and get. They were too dumb to make themselves anonymous. They think that because it's out there, that, let me tell you, that's not how the law works, right? What the law actually says is basically ignorance of the law isn't an excuse to violate it. So I do believe that those people that ended up throwing that money in there, it's pretty, to me, pretty obvious. To me, it's pretty obvious that if you're donating money to that, you're looking at pulling resources and stuff away. Now, this video that you just saw, yeah, this propaganda video that ended up getting put out by Hamas, obviously, is following their bus attack yesterday. And so they put this video out in order to instill more fear. This is terrorism. This is them releasing a video so that they can, you know, train their people allegedly on how to do it. But the reality is what they're trying to do is show that they have the ability to do these things and they're, you know, going to take care of it. Now, where do you think that this whole thing was filmed at, ladies and gentlemen? Where do you guys think that this actually went down? Like, there's scenes from outside the bus and they do a very good job of not showing anything other than like some dirt and whatnot around. But yeah, they've got a really nice fancy 44 passenger, like brand new freaking bus. Sitting out there in the middle of nowhere, and they ended up blocking the buildings and everything else. Where do we think that this actually went down at, where they were able to film this garbage? Do we think they filmed this inside of the West Bank? Do we think they filmed this inside of Gaza? What do you guys think? Matt, can you do a Discord chat today? Tristan Allen, I will do a Discord chat today, bud. Yeah, why not? They did not film it over at Rob's place, but I got a feeling possibly over inside of Doha, maybe they ended up, you know, filming some crap like that. So it's a good reason for them to go ahead and take it out. It's AI filmed in Qatar or Iran. No, it's not AI. Here's Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu telling all the Palestinians to get the heck out of Dodge.
הבטחתי לכם לפני ימים אחדים שאנחנו נפיל את מגדלי הטרור בעזה. זה בדיוק מה שאנחנו עושים. ביומיים האחרונים 50 מגדלים כאלה נפלו. חיל האוויר הוריד אותם. עכשיו כל זה זה רק מבוא, רק ספתח, לפעולה העצימה העיקרית. וזה תמרון קרקעי של כוחותינו שמתארגנים עכשיו ומתכנסים לתוך העיר עזה. ולכן אני אומר לתושבי עזה, אני מנצל את ההזדמנות הזאת ותקשיבו לי טוב. ראו, הוזהרתם. צאו משם.
You have been warned to get out of there. I am taking advantage of this opportunity and listen to me carefully. You have been warned to get out of there. Bibi is literally telling them it's coming. And this ended up getting released right before that attack over inside Doha. So I am not going to be surprised if we see Israeli ground troops going in as soon as the dang sun goes down. Tristan Allen says, cool, because I got some good points to make. All right, cool. Well, I look forward to hearing your cool points that you would like to make when I end up opening up the Discord chat here in a little bit. If you guys ended up getting gifted out of Speak the Truth membership after I open up the Discord chat, I'm going to make sure that I end up posting it for you guys over in the Discord, YouTube post as well. So you go over to our main YouTube channel and you will see I will post a brand new Discord link once I get inside of there. That way you guys have access to it and you can get in there. So they are going to continue to eliminate Hamas. IDF's Arabic spokesperson issued evacuation order for the entire city of Gaza, telling all the residents of Gaza present inside their neighborhoods to get the heck out of Dodge. There's really no point in talking about that any further. This is literally the evacuation order they were given. Now, my big concern is that this is now that this is kicking off Jordanian bus service. Somebody says it's in a different country. Now that this whole thing is kicking off, as it goes down, I'm expecting to see a lot of propaganda hit, and I'm expecting to see a lot more terror attacks, especially since Hamas's leadership was wiped out over inside of Doha. They're going to take it, and they're going to somehow try to spin this narrative and say that those were political officials that were over there on political business that were meeting up in order to further negotiate. And what the word is that they were sitting there. This is what they're putting out so far. That all of the Hamas officials had gathered inside of Doha so that they could discuss Steve Witkoff's latest peace proposal. Now, that sounds oddly familiar. If I remember right, the U.S. government had told Iran that we were going to be meeting with them on a Sunday, and Israel started bombing them on a Friday. And so if Witkoff ended up giving them a new, you know, hostage negotiation deal or something like that, which we knew they weren't going to take, and they used it as an excuse to sit around, drink chai, and pull their wings to October 7th videos, and that makes perfectly good sense why they ended up getting schwacked. Now, they cannot like that all that they want, but all is fair in love and war. And if they all happen to gather in one place and all happen to get taken out, well, this operation's about to go down. Their orders for their material support, everything they were getting from the outside, just disappeared. The last glimmer of hope for Hamas just got wiped off the map. And now they're sitting around, hanging out. You know, see, Meathead, I actually believe it. Meathead says he smells BS. I actually believe it. I think that that is like something very viable that we would have done. I think we would have actually given them, all right, information that would suggest that they need to all meet up together. That way we get them all in one little tiny location and we end up blowing them off the map. One bomb versus 20 bombs, right? Makes life a heck of a lot easier. Yeah, and they've been playing around with hostages for months. They've been playing freaking games. And inside of this city, somewhere where those yellow areas arrows are covering, there might be 20 hostages left alive. Might be 20 left alive. Trump came out last week and he'd stated that he's not even sure that he heard information that suggests that there might be fewer than 20 left alive. So good question as to whether or not it's going to go. Oh my God, man. It's not going to turn out pretty, ladies and gentlemen. That I can promise you. Israel also increased their bombings over inside of Gaza City as well since that announcement. Here we've got some smoke rising up on the horizon going after them. There's another video for you guys. Now, all of these attacks, we've seen like a steady increase in these bombings that have taken place over inside of Gaza City. And these steady increase of bombings over inside of Gaza have allegedly really started upticking here within like the last 12 hours. So if they did, in fact, start that uptick within the last 12 hours, that to me signifies that we're about to do a heck of a lot more damage. Like I said, once the sun goes down, I would expect Israel to launch a full-on assault. Now, they don't have to. They don't have to launch a full-on assault immediately. They can sit there and they can bomb the crap out of that thing and continue to soften those targets up because Hamas has been dug in there for quite some time. Jimmy the Jew, I like that. He says, my friend in Gaza reports, there is great joy hearing this news. YouTube won't let me post the actual news. Gee, I wonder what the actual news is, and I wonder why YouTube won't let you report it. That's kind of frustrating that it didn't happen. All right, so moving out of Gaza and going over and looking at Ukraine real quick to give you guys a situational update over there. Russia ended up killing more than 20 people in the village of Yurova inside of Donetsk with an aerial bomb. Let me get this up here. There you guys can actually see some of the damage. There is copies of this floating around with audio and without audio. But this village ended up getting struck. And that's about all I can show of that before it gets any closer because there are some very sleepy people laying on the ground in that video. And it is very, very real. Now, yesterday I was telling you guys about the different airstrikes that Ukraine ended up launching over against Russia in the Donetsk region. It was assessed that this bomb that you guys see up here, well, it's not a bomb. It was assessed that this was a Storm Shadow missile, but I've got news for the Russians on this one. Oh, there's a good pause of that sucker. You guys see that right up there? So yeah, everybody was like, this is likely a UK Storm Shadow missile, and it does look very similar to a UK Storm Shadow missile. But when it ends up rolling over the side, we get a completely and totally different picture. Instead of the UK's Storm Shadow, what we actually see is the Ukrainian produced, I'm going to probably screw this name up. No, I got it. Topaz. So all of those airstrikes that ended up getting conducted over inside of Donetsk yesterday were using Ukrainian-made munitions. Now, that is horrible news for Russia, because what that means is that those Ukrainian munitions are extremely effective. And what we are seeing is that the Russians' ability to control the skies has been vastly depleted. Over the last several weeks, actually, probably the last 8 weeks or so, Ukraine's been going after Russian aerial defense assets. And this strike that went down yesterday is proof positive, in my opinion, that those actually have been working. Texas says it's not. I don't know if Texas is talking about me. I sent you the specs. I don't know what you guys are arguing about in the chat. Maybe I'm wrong. But this is what I ended up hearing, ended up actually getting in there and targeting those suckers, even though people are saying no. That's what I'm hearing. That's what I'm getting out of it. So maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. But some of the dunnage and wreckage following those drone strikes has been found on the ground. Somebody says it's a little ramjet. That's right. It's not really a missile. It's a little jet that goes on the back of it. And you can actually hear that jet inside that video ripping as that sucker is going across. Debbie McBride saying keeps getting blocked. Yeah, I don't know why you keep getting blocked right there on that one. But what I'm going to go ahead and do is I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to open up the Discord for you guys, because I've been asked to do so. So that is what I would like to do this morning, going up over inside of there and starting it. Now, as that Discord is spinning up before you guys are able to get in there, I am also, like I said, going to grab that Discord link and go share it over on YouTube for everybody so that you guys can have the brand new link as true supporters. You got to be a true supporter in order to get the Discord link, in order to come up. You can't do it as just somebody that's watching the channel. If you guys want to come on, if you want to talk, you want to be part of the community, I highly recommend it. We've got a wonderful community over on Discord that's always, you know, doing amazing things. Some of our mods I hear might be some like butthurt, you know, like you might be a little butthurt, but they've been around for a while. I'm sorry, not our mods are butthurt. Our mods get people butthurt. If you're one of those people that get butthurt easily, I'm very sorry. I mean, I'm going to side with my mods. They've been around forever and they do some really great things for this channel. And I'm going to keep it that way. So they've done a very good job building that sucker up, and I'm very appreciative of them on a daily basis. If you're a true supporter, you guys should have just got a notification of it being up over in there. Texas, what's up, bud? How are you?
Great. For a change, I'm not the mod pissing anybody off, because I've been AFK for a minute. So for a change, it's not me. So that missile that you saw earlier, so that actually is the Polonitsia, it's called. It's a different model that Ukraine has been working for a while. The one that you showed, the Tora, the other Topaz one is something whatever. That's not, the Topaz is not in production yet or whatever. This one is the Polonitsia. They have clearly the characteristics. I sent you the spec, the actual display. They have three different variants that have different payload capacities. Is the Polonitsia. And the one thing that I am very, very impressed with is the accuracy of this thing, because I sent you another video a little bit earlier today where you see an actual POV of the impact, because there was a guy sitting in a car literally a couple of, maybe 100 meters away from the impact site, and you can see one by one by one hitting within a 5 meter radius. That's Tomahawk level accuracy. Especially when it came from domestically produced in Ukraine during wartime. So this is zero of this missile existed before the war. It's low cost, high accuracy.
Yeah. So it's Ukraine producing weapons, and Russia can't do anything about it. Like those Ukrainian produced weapons are smashing into Russia, which is
It's Russian controlled territory. In the beginning of 25, Ukraine was at 35% of all weapons used in war, domestically produced. Zelensky's statement 2 days ago was, at this point we are over 60% of all weapons used in this war domestically is domestically produced. There we go. At this point. So they went almost double in just the year of 2025 because of all of the new longer range and all of the new drones that they have produced and actually tested. And so everybody's saying Texas is giving us correct information. When it comes to Ukraine, I don't try to speak on Israel.
He's got Ukraine stuff down pretty dang hard, man. That's why I let him talk.
I tried to talk on what I know. I mean, I would love to touch on the little
Yeah, let me get real quick. We'll touch on all that stuff. Let me get Havoc Yoda God. He's asking to come in, and we talk quite a bit, so I want to give these guys a chance. Go ahead there, Havoc Yoda.
What's up, Matt? It's Tristan. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, Tristan, what's up, friend?
Nothing much. So, you know what they should do with those people with the flotilla, man? And I was just thinking about this, which would be pretty funny. When they capture them, knock them out, put trackers on them, or in their skin, or however they want to do it, put them in the middle of Gaza City, and let's see how quick Hamas throws them off roofs.
Yeah, no, what I said was just arrest them, throw them in jail, and release them to Gaza at an undisclosed time and location. At least that way they'll know what actual bombs sound like, so they know how ridiculous they are. You know what I mean?
Put a tracker on them. Let's put a tracker on them.
I don't even want a tracker on them. I don't care what happens to them. Just leave them in there. I don't care. They'll surface at some point in time. I don't care about no tracker. I care less what happens to them.
We'll see videos of them getting thrown off buildings. That will definitely happen.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Mac, I'm going to bring you in. Get your conversation. See what it is that you got. Waiting on Mac as he slowly gets welcomed up in here. If he's going to actually accept it, even though he requested it. There he is. Mac, what you got, brother?
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Okay. Yes.
So, what the odds are of the IDF goes into Gaza,
Mac, you are rubber banding really, really bad. We can only make out every half a word that you're stating. When you had originally asked, "Can you hear me?" That came through nice. But now you sound like you are just inside of you're a tweaker running through a freaking funny house or something, man. Like trying to, you sound weird.
I'm in a line clearance tree trimming truck right now. So there's a steel cage above me.
No, you sound a little better. Go with your question. You sound good.
Plus, we're in a storm right now.
Sound a little better. Go.
What are the odds that the Hamas kills all the hostages once they get backed into a corner in Gaza?
It could happen.
Like that's my main concern.
It could happen. I can't give you a percentage, but it could happen.
Anybody.
I can't give you a percentage on that. It depends on the individual that's holding on to them, if they are at all. If they don't try to save their own skin, because they can always throw down guns and go play civilians.
Correct. That's the question that I was trying to get into the super chat yesterday.
You're back to sounding like a robot again, brother. I'm sorry, but we can't understand a word you're saying, man. I can't do it. We can't understand you. I'm going to go back over to Texas. I'm sorry, brother, but your audio is horrible. I hope I was able to get your question. All right. Is Texas, what was it you had been?
Yeah, I have on this flotilla. I mean, I don't really pay too much attention to that side of things. But when something like a flotilla goes out again, it's like, oh, let's see how they're going to screw up this time. Mm-hmm. So I looked into it. And obviously when that happened, so I looked at that video of the incoming. So, and then I looked at the video of the guy. So you see the guy. Mm-hmm. And you know, one thing I like to do a lot is like reaction, human facial mm-hmm. reaction, body reactions to things. That guy knew way too early to look up.
He heard the drone.
Well, we know it's not a drone now from another angle.
Right.
So he couldn't have heard a drone. I have fired flares before, and what it looks to me that, so a lot of people say it's not a flare because it has a big blast, like a big like spark when it lands. It's what a flare does when it hits something. All the sparks go flying everywhere, correct. And then something lights on fire.
And it's
you
not
obviously
a big,
see something.
It's also not a big blast. It's just the light being emitted and blinding that
yeah,
thing.
In the black and white camera. Correct. Yeah, but even if you slow it down, like I slowed it down to 25% of the video, frame by frame, you see that for 1 second there's like a very bright flash, obviously on the black and white camera. That's only when the flare is hitting the thing, and then you see correct. There's fire. I have two things about that, real quick. Two things on that. Number one, how come for the second time something happens on the boat, it's always in the front while somebody happens to be outside?
Well,
like, you know, where everybody hangs out in the front of the boat, in the side of the boat, the pathway of the boat. It's always when somebody happens to be outside. The last time, too, they claimed they were blasted, but the video shows that people are running away from there. I think what happened was these guys popped a flare and it came down.
But yeah,
that's what I think.
Yeah, if there was a drone overhead,
somebody fired a flare. I think they fired their
Texas,
own flare.
If there was a drone, yeah, that's really obvious. If there was a drone overhead, like, go about the opposite way. After they had been bombed the last time, according to them, in the same like area, correct? If there was a drone overhead, why wouldn't they have warned everybody that there was a drone overhead? Why just sit there and stare at it as a drone's going over the boat? Now, something that I noticed, and you can die laughing about this alongside of me, I ended up going back and like looking over this group. Watch this as I go and grab this. I forget this lady's name off the top of my head. Hold on. You're going to want to see this. Trust me on this one. You're going to want to see it. This lady that's all over this thing, I forget her name. She's like a special repertoire to the UN because she does all sorts of dumb crap. And she's normally like all over their website talking about stuff. There's all this garbage. And she's like, yeah, I mean, if this ended up happening, this lady right here. Mm-hmm. I forget her name. This lady right here. See if they've got her name to where I can just grab it, but they didn't. So let's go over here to this little video of her. Press statement. If anybody remembers that crazy woman's name, please tell me. Make my life a little bit easier when I go grab it. Her husband actually is a big time banker for the international community over inside of Tunisia. And I was actually able to find several reports by him, and I've got all this stuff saved on my computer. But the reports that he was putting out are basically making excuses for like the second Intifada, trying to tie it to like economy and things of that nature, saying that, you know, it was a contributing factor for the second Intifada. There's nothing to do with like radical ideology, any of that crap, but just the second Intifada that launched off in 2000 likely had some huge contributing factors because Israel was like cutting them off economically and things of that nature. And that's this lady's husband who's over inside of Tunisia. And I'm trying to remember her dang name off the top of my head. It's really frustrating me that it's just not showing. Because normally
they actually stood up in 2008. That's when the Freedom Flotilla started, was 2008.
Well, there's different flotillas that end up coming.
Is when it started.
There was one that ended up coming out of there off this like little Freedom Flotilla thing. Hold on, let me grab it. Yeah, there is. This is not the Freedom Flotilla. So this is her husband's name. Let me get this up here. Like I said, he's over there in Tunisia, allegedly. I'll put this up on the screen and on this computer.
And yeah, Matt, that's where I agree with Texas is, why is it always the front or side? If Israel was trying to do anything to those people, don't you think they would have hit the cabin areas or sunk that boat?
If Israel was trying to what?
Even not.
If Israel was trying to do something to those people,
they would stop the engine. They would hit the back where the engines are. They would, like, even with small arm fires, they would, like, you rule one when you're trying to interdict a smaller vessel, which this is you shut the engines down. You don't want to sink it because you obviously, like, either want to, unless you want to sink it. So, like, it would be either one of the two. It wouldn't be that. And also, it cannot be a drone. 100% it cannot be a drone because there's obviously a video of it flaming with a smoking trail coming down. And it's bright orange.
Exactly.
So like even in the reflection of the guy's face, that when he starts running away, you see the reflection on the side of the boat. It's red. It's not orange, the color of the fire. It's red.
So you got to ask yourself, like, who stood all of this crap up and made it go? So this is the lady that's over behind it. I'm going to zoom in on her. She's kind of like their little whole spokesperson thing. Francisca Albanese or whatever, like, you see her behind a lot of this other crap, and she is a special repertoire to the UN, all right, for the occupied Palestinian territories. Imagine that. This is her husband. Let me get this up on here. And
Matt, have you seen?
You should do. You should just jump in and interrupt me as I'm talking. That's what you should do. Is I'm trying to present information. You should just jump in and start talking, man. That's always a good call. That doesn't bother me at all. I love it.
I apologize.
It's all right. It's just, it gets freaking frustrating, man. you know, like everybody try to behave when you're up there. It kind of helps out. It's just not being rude type thing. I'm trying to get this document open up and people are always jumping in. Let me grab this one right here because this is her husband and this is a big deal that you guys need to pay attention to. Grab it and put it up there. There we go. Here he is. Now, these are all of the different articles that this man has written, and he ended up opening up a different foundation of stuff over there. So here is the economics in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, historical insights from quantitative analysis. And this is where he starts arguing those different things. Conflict, right, as he gets into it. Israeli occupation of Palestinian territory in 1967 spurred a conflict, which has been spanning to this date with no solution in sight. The conflict has varied greatly in intensity with spurts of intense violence, such as during the first and second Intifadas, along with lengthy periods of low violence. While political, religious, and sociological explanations for the conflict abound, relatively little known is about economic perspective. Everything this guy ends up writing, and it all started in about 2015. He did a lot of reports on this crap. When you go back and you look at it, and everything he does ends up trying to blame like Israel, different settlements, things of that nature, but none of the blame actually ends up falling on the Israelis. And he heads a nonprofit organization over inside of Israel. For the Global Economic Forum, if I remember correct, not the big one that ends up going out of Lebanon, but an Israeli-based one. And this is her husband, and he is, let me grab his information. I want to say like an investment banker or some crap like that, or some ridiculous banker over inside of Tunisia on top of everything else. Let me go and we just look him up on Google. U.S. envoy cheers. Gaza's husband was payroll. Yeah, that comes back out back then. Yeah. Senior country economist for the World Bank in Tunisia. That's his role. Senior country economist for the World Bank in Tunisia. This is this lady right up over here. These are the people that are running that organization. So I have, and her husband was on the payroll for the Palestinian Authority. Right. So I have huge problems with this couple just in general. Right. These are the people that are behind the flotilla, that are like the spokespeople, that are the mouse. And so it makes perfect sense. Like, you don't even have to look and say that, you know, these people had a flare go off on their freaking boat. And we can sit here and we debate all that crap. The long story short, here's your connection. It's a pretty big connection. So in my opinion, they should all get tried. That's what I think. Sorry, go ahead. Whoever's up.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I found a site that lists all the flotillas. Mm-hmm. You have a Canadian boat to Gaza, Freedom Flotilla of Italy, MyCare Malaysia, which
they have over 60 boats currently inside of this one flotilla. But they have the
These are different.
They have the overall Freedom Flotilla, and then they have all of their other smaller subsets that go underneath them.
No, this is listing all the countries that have their own flotillas.
Mm-hmm.
Brazil, Ireland.
Are those Freedom Flotillas for Gaza?
Yep. Australia. There's one IAH one I found that was supposedly founded in 1995. I'm just trying to do a little bit of research because I've looked into the flotillas, but I've not looked into them that hard. And it's just wild.
Hmm. Yeah, no. From
Norway?
What I can see, yeah. From what I can see, this current one that's on its way over there has over 60 boats that they're like pulling together to go over and break the siege, which is obviously going to take up a huge amount of Israeli resources. I know underneath them, they have all of these other countries, and I don't know if it's like one boat that's coming from that country. I've looked at stuff like that earlier today, but what they're calling a flotilla is just a series of boats, so who knows, right? Like, unless they're listing how many they have, or are those the boats that are attached to the current one is the other question.
Right. My other question is, I know like with the U.S., I think it's we own 3 miles offshore before we hit international water.
Right.
I'm assuming it's the same for Israel. Does Gaza fall under Israel for that concept?
Well, it's a totally different concept where Israel is just putting a blockade on anything going in or out of there for the ongoing support to terror. And so they're making sure that nothing gets in or out. So that's totally different. And so if there's boats that are announcing they're on their way into Gaza and they're going to break the blockade, you know, and try to do that, Israel could technically intercept them wherever they feel like, because they've already announced their intentions to do so. They don't have to wait till they're 3 miles off the shore.
Matt, couldn't Israel just mine the waters to stop those boats if they really wanted to?
Probably. You know, mines are one of those things that a lot of countries in the UN actually have signed. The United States never did. But a lot of countries have actually signed saying that they're not going to end up laying mines. And I don't think Israel signed up for that either.
I mean, Matt, we're talking here in circles because, like, at the end of the day, Israel has the capability to bomb Iran or to bomb Yemen or to bomb Qatar. They don't need to go 1,400 miles off of their territory to drop a drone that's going to light a fire the size of a matchbox on that boat.
No.
If they wanted to do something, I think Israel would have, if they really wanted to do what they did last time, is like they got all the videos of them taking the sandwiches and everything. They would have waited till they get too close to thing. They would have done an in-person interdiction. They would have gotten some SEALs mm-hmm. on board and handed out sandwiches, put everybody in cuffs, brought them off to shore, deported them on the next flight. They would have done the same thing, because last time when they did it, everything from that flotilla fell apart. All their like anti-Israel, oh, Israel's here to kill us or everything. We're not going to survive. They're going to put us in jail. They were fed, put on a flight, and sent home. So, like, people that even consider that Israel, when, like, a general somewhere, some high government person in the military cabinet said, you know what, let's fly a drone with a half a gram of explosive on it.
Right.
1,400 miles, not even kilometers, 1,400 miles
right.
away from our territory, so we can light a fire the size of a matchbox on a boat. That it doesn't even make sense. Like, it wasn't a drone. It wasn't anything. They fired a flare up. They were effing around finding out because they obviously need attention. You can see people on the boat itself, are releasing statements that is clearly false according to videos. Mm-hmm. They heard the hum, then a bomb dropped, and after the bomb dropped, it detonates. None of which is actually factual from the video. Because whatever came down, if it was a drone or a bomb or a matchbox or a flare, whatever it was, it came down burning with a smoke trail that had a pretty long smoke trail what came into frame.
Correct.
So that means it came from, like,
fire on its way down. That's not a bomb.
Yeah, and no drone does that. I've dropped stuff of drones myself. I've seen stuff from drones at me, and I've seen my friends drop stuff off drones at other people too. Nothing burns. I mean, let me correct that. Ukraine did create a drone that they put like a thermite charge on it, where it doesn't drop anything. It just burns. It shoots down thermite burning. But that's not obviously not it. Nothing that I've ever seen being dropped from a drone, as far as something that has to do with a tactical drone or anything war related or anything combat related. Nothing is on fire as it comes down, unless
yeah. And if you were going to drop something, like you just stated, it'd be some sort of like thermite munition, right? That's what that would look like, and there's no signs of that.
That does not look. It's orange. You can see in the one shot that's a colored video. It's literally red. It's bright red. It's a color of a flare.
Right. It's.
I think we're like that's just ridiculous that people are going around and making all these dumb statements about this. I mean, I've seen a pineapple grenade dropped mm-hmm. off a drone. A small pineapple frag grenade. It's not even a big explosion. It's just frags fly everywhere. It's literally designed to just shoot metal everywhere. I've seen that do more damage than this thing did to the boat.
Yeah, it didn't do anything. Nemechek says, ridiculous. Compare the flotilla to the 9th ship the UAE just sent to Gaza last week in coordination with Israel, containing 14,000 tons of relief supplies, food, medical supplies, tents, and 5 ambulances, actual help. Yeah, I mean, that's honestly what they could do. I mean, almost $4 million in donations, and the best that they can do is a PR stunt that they know is not going to actually bring any relief. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. If they actually wanted to provide some humanitarian relief, they wouldn't have done it with a PR stunt. They would have actually provided some humanitarian relief to these people. But they didn't.
Yeah.
They didn't provide humanitarian relief. And yeah, let's take a look at the fire damage, right? Like, it's not. You have tiny little burn marks, and that's it.
That's literally what a flare would do. Once it touches plastic and everything, it'll just burn, and it looks like somebody ran up there with a fire extinguisher and just sprayed it, and it was done.
Say, it's
there's
not
no
even
actual
a big fire.
Damage.
Yeah, you can see like
there's
the little
no
canvas
impact
bag
marks.
Or t-shirt or whatever that's around that. Maybe some life vests on the left.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. That looks like a life vest that probably is made out of nylon, which is very easily flammable. So all a flare had to do and just literally, like, there's not even a scorch mark on the floor other than the stuff
that is
being burned.
There's not even a scorch mark on the floor. You are correct, sir. Thank you very much. There's also not a dent on the floor. There's also no melted metal. There's none of that. There's a buoy on the back that it wasn't even hot enough to burn through this buoy. On the backside, you see
that orange, that orange floaty right there. That's literally made out of foam. That would have burnt.
Not even strong enough to go through that. It would have just melted that sucker right in half. You know, and you'd have had slag all over the floor if this was some type of thermite, and it wasn't.
I would be very curious for these people are not even smart enough. I think that I hope nobody of that flotilla is listening to this because I just give them the advice. But if they do make it to Israel, Israel does interdict. I bet you these guys will find the flare gun that they used to fire this flare. By the way, why is this empty? Why is there no flare in it?
Yeah, or at least like a couple shells or whatever they're missing. But they'll probably end up taking it and like chucking it over the board, you know?
I don't think they're smart enough to do that. If they're stupid enough to try to convince the world that was a bomb being dropped off a boat, I don't think they're smart enough to get rid of the flare gun.
Yeah, I would agree.
On a side note, let's talk about Qatar for a second. So apparently there's a joke going around that Qatar called Trump saying they want the plane back. They're not happy.
Qatar's not happy? Well, that's too bad. I think Qatar could have been made aware of this, moments before it went off. Here's a new video I just found of the actual airstrike. Doesn't look, nearly as... but you can definitely see multiple munitions smashing in. And that's got to be that building, that we had that image of from earlier where that strike ends up coming in. But this is just CCTV footage of that sucker actually going down. I mean, this was a precision strike.
Yeah, those are bombs. I have the video. It's slow motion. You can actually see. They look like JDAMs. They look like there's just like JDAMs just coming straight down and hitting.
That's a precision strike.
If you slow this video down right there, you'll see the actual bomb coming in.
How many Hamas leaders are still alive, do you think, Matt? Or do you think Israel killed them all?
No, there's still a couple like low levels, and depends on what you call a Hamas leader, But I think they took out the vast majority of the ones that are hiding in Qatar. They have like their little political wings and this and that and all sorts of stuff. I had pulled up the estimated ones that actually ended up getting killed in the strike today, but somehow I lost that. There's four. There's four total that ended up getting killed, allegedly, inside of that strike. I'm looking for it right now.
Yeah, the ones that I saw looked like they ate all the food from Gaza.
Well, right. Yeah. Well, that fat guy that I pointed out in the beginning, he's one of them. In that original October 7th video where they were celebrating, that fat guy was
born. Yeah. Two of those guys in that video died today.
Yeah.
Is what they said. They put us. Yeah.
There's a total of four, though. Here we go.
Nice.
So it is believed that almost all of the remaining leadership of Hamas, including Mohammed Darwish, Musa Marzouk, Hamza Badran, and Tahir al-Nuna, were all present in the meeting that was targeted. So at least four that we're aware of, plus however many other little low-level peons that they have. I think one of their main PR guys was one, but they also had over inside of the UK yesterday. I don't know if you guys...
Do you know what's more impressive than hitting that building?
What's that?
That Israel knew that they're all in there right now.
Well, yeah, I think, because they're... How hard
the
is it to gather intelligence?
The intel game that Israel has, yes, it's insane. Like, the intel of, knowing where... And I think this goes back all the way to the beeper thing, where they collected that data and they implemented these devices and stuff, where they knew tracking of everybody's movements, and it was able to, obviously... point of interest markers all over where they'll know, let's just check that place and we'll see how many vehicles are there or something. But the intel game,
it's easier than that because they have their designated office or whatever over there. So they could just literally
knowing
follow
that
them
the guys are there. Yes. Yeah.
as bomb number one.
I mean, that's just very, very impressive.
Yeah. I mean, they did a dang good job, like, making sure they were there. Well, at that point, you could just put a sensor
and that's definitely a JDAMS, not any missiles or anything. So that means that the plane was within 40-mile range.
Yeah.
So, because those are not glide bombs. I slowed the video down. You can actually see it's a JDAM. So they had to be within a 45-mile range. So that means that Israeli jets flew into Qatar to bomb Qatar. I'm very impressed with that.
Well,
because Qatar has some pretty good Russian air defense systems.
Yeah, but we've learned a lot about them, you know, lately.
Yeah. I mean, when I said pretty good, I was air quoting it, by the way.
Yeah, it's fair.
F-35's OP for a reason.
I don't even think they use the F-35s. Israel uses their F-35s really only when they have to, because the operational cost for the F-35s is a lot more than their F-15s and F-18s. And also, the maintenance required after. So it means if Israel was to use for a single building bomb like this, a couple of F-35s, they would have to put these F-35s out of service for a longer time after that for maintenance versus the and not have them ready to go. I believe that Israel probably used one or two just for like a support role, and they used their Strike Eagles to absolutely hammer this target. It looks like a single Strike Eagle dropped like four or three munitions on it, because it looks like one comes in and then two follow right after. I slowed it down to 2.5, and it looks like two comes in right after. Yeah, I'm very, very impressed with this one, because it's Qatar, and Qatar is supposedly been one of the like, don't touch, we can talk, but don't touch. And Israel's like, all right, we won't touch. We'll send somebody else to touch. It's called a bomb.
U.S. also has like jamming capabilities and things like that. So it's possible that we just flew up and just kind of hid those aircraft for them and allowed them to do the strike and then let them take off out. I mean, there's lots of different ways we could have gone about this.
Yeah, it could have been done a lot of ways. But I did send you the Prime Minister Netanyahu's statement, and he did say that was here, let me read it for you. I don't know, because he did say that this was a Israel alone. Prime Minister today says that today's action against the top terrorist chieftain, I don't know, Hamas, a wholly independent on Israeli operation. So it's like complete independent Israeli operation. They're trying to make sure that that they're letting everybody know that nobody else was involved, not the West or America. It says, Israel initiated, Israel conducted it, and Israel takes full responsibility. That's a big, bold statement.
Well, screw them. I mean, seriously. Yeah, I just played them over on, like...
Okay, so now there's up to five people that are confirmed killed in this strike.
There we go. Yeah, I mean, somebody's digging through the rubble and pulling out bodies right now, just snapping pictures of faces. Yeah, I would. That was my other thing. Like, if they told Qatar they were doing this, and Qatar was like, "Yeah, go ahead and kill them," why wouldn't Israel just be allowed to go in and conduct a ground operation? You know, that's why I'm like, I don't think Qatar really.
It's more risky.
That.
You're risking now. I mean, I don't think Israel wanted to capture these guys.
Yeah, when you tell them about it.
But you're risking soldiers also that far away with no QRF or any of that stuff. I would just like Israel just said, like, we planned it, we did it, then we struck them. I think it was much cleaner because like that. We obviously, nobody knew it was coming until it was done. And by the time people are seeing that it's done, they're long gone. So, yeah, that was a pretty one. I really impressed this one because it's Qatar.
No, it's a good freaking strike. And it's in Qatar. It's an international incident. It's going to piss some people off. I'm expecting that Trump's going to come out and make some sort of a statement on this. I mean, maybe he won't. Maybe just say silent and just tells the world to kiss off.
I did see a statement of Trump, but I'm not sure if it's new or old. There's a statement, something where Trump says... something where Qatar has been a sponsor of terrorists for a while or something.
Well, sure. I think Trump, honestly, just a boss move would be not to say a word. Like, if I was Trump, I might just stay quiet. I mean, what are they going to do? Complain?
Yeah, really? I mean, they're gonna complain. Please take a ticket and stand in line.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead. Keep complaining. But, you know, that's my other thing is, and I don't want to like get too far in depth, is we had Iran that refused to negotiate and they got bombed. We have Hamas that refused to negotiate and they got bombed. And now we have Russia that has been refusing to negotiate. And so they're next in line to get bombed. obviously, you know, down in Venezuela.
I think Venezuela is going to get it before Russia.
I don't think we're going to end up like bombing Venezuela across the country or anything like that. I don't think we're going to assassinate anybody. I don't think we're going to do crap. I think we're literally going to do what we said we're going to do and just take out those boats. Because if we do end up going after them, let's say we end up taking out Maduro and we bomb the crap out of him. One, not really guaranteeing who's going to get into power. So all of that needs to be in place, right? So that we have the right devil in office in there. But two, we also open up the American people to attacks. Going after and just schwacking those drug runners and keeping them from delivering.
Yeah,
product.
So I don't think they're going to hit Maduro. I think they're going to start like hitting like actual target, like storage warehouses, docks where boats are leaving, actual like cartel like meeting points and stuff like that, where they're going to release these videos. They're going to show everybody like we've hit this, and it's not.
I don't know if the president's palace
and we killed him. I really think so. I think Venezuela's going to get it.
I don't know if we are, man, because if we do end up going after and striking inside Venezuela like that, that's different than targeting people like, you know, terrorists in international waters instead of another country.
Why?
That's a
but
whole
it's terrorists. Once they be designated as terrorism, it's considered that's a war right. on terror.
Obama,
now. So
Obama killed an American because he was a terrorist, you know?
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying.
Right.
The rules of engagement is now different than they are drug. Like if they're
it,
just
it
drug,
is,
so
but
then the
he
code-
also it is. But you got to understand, he's also playing politics and trying to support country. If he wants to get the boats to stop, and he's able to do that without, you know, striking inside of Venezuela, then he doesn't have to strike inside Venezuela. You know, if he's able to push them back that way,
I mean,
I don't know.
Yes, I. But I think it's not even about the drugs. I think this is about the regime change that's been going on for a very long time and the oil. I think this is something, because even Preston made a very good video on this. He says, like, give me a break. Like, the U.S. has stopped bigger drug boats and subs with the Coast Guard vessel. You don't need 12 Navy vessels and 3 subs off the coast of Venezuela to stop drug smugglers. It's just my, like, and he has a point, like, we know what the Coast Guard is capable, especially when it comes to drug and addiction on the water. Yes, if they would send a couple of frigates to help the Coast Guard out and actually make a statement, but the deployment and also this whole thing with the F-16 buzzing the U.S. ship, mm-hmm. I did some research. Turns out it wasn't the U.S. ship that it was buzzing.
That was
a Venezuelan frigate.
Interesting.
That it was on. So somebody actually, I gotta find it. And people are still running that theory that it was a U.S. ship. It was a Venezuelan frigate that was buzzed by a Venezuelan F-16.
What's the operational
the
range?
US...
What's the operational range of the munitions they have, though? And so if they were doing that and they're taunting U.S. ships, obviously they're going to end up seeing that F-16 out there flying around. And so while we might, because the U.S. didn't say that they did a low flyby or anything like that, said, you know, came close to or something like that in an attempt to intimidate.
But U.S. didn't say anything. It was just a question that was asked in the White House that Trump didn't even know about. And then statements started coming out where, like, people were running with the story. You're going to tell me that if an F-16 or two F-16s flew over one of our vessels at that distance, the president wouldn't know about it when he's that involved in everything else in this operation? I think that, like, there's somebody that actually identified the vessel. I have to go back and find it. There's an actual identification of the vessel, and you could see match for match the layout of the view. I'm gonna go back and find this. Here it is. Okay. There it is. There it is. Very simple. Right here. Sent it to you right now on Signal, and this is not a U.S. vessel that was buzzed. This is a Venezuelan Guacuria class patrol vessel, whatever. I can't even pronounce the name. Guacuri.
Just know the ship is actually a Venezuelan Guacuria class patrol vessel. Yeah, I have no idea how to even say that. I mean, I haven't seen that video that was alleging it whatsoever. So.
There, you have the video, and the link that I sent you has the original video, the screen grab of the boat, and the actual boat at dock, and you can line up
the chimney stacks.
Now. Yeah. It's not a U.S. vessel. It doesn't even have the same chimney stacks as the U.S. vessels,
though. It's not a U.S. vessel. That is correct. Yeah, if that's what they were using to claim that, then that's just a joke. And that's just...
It is a joke. I mean, we know that. What happens when something comes within range of the U.S. Navy? Like, the Navy does not play. The Navy does not play around. Like, the engagement of drones and everything.
I mean,
they don't play around.
The added context on it, say, this video does not depict two Venezuelan F-16s that flew over the USS Jason Dunham. It was posted 6 days ago by the Venezuelan Military Strategic Operations Command on Instagram. This was part of an operation called Crab Task Force 2025.
Yep.
That's it. So, and it's got a link to the actual video itself. So that wasn't, I mean, that wasn't a thing. Yeah. And if that's what they were using to validate it, then yeah, that's obviously not true. So nobody buzzed our stuff. I would go with that.
Yeah, I mean, you got to be really, really having a death wish to do anything to do anything near the Navy. Like, you know, you want to fly near a base, a drone, and say, look, we see the U.S. bases or whatever. Okay, even the time, and I asked this for, I have a friend here in Ukraine who is a former Navy guy. I asked this a while ago when there was a video coming out of a drone, a Houthi drone, recording some military vessels, our vessels in the med, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, how come we didn't shoot it down? And he said, you think we could have shot that down with the smallest gun on board? They said that they actually launched a Poseidon aircraft, I think it was, that they were collecting data of what devices as on the drone, what transmission frequency, so they let it fly. So while it fly, if they shoot it down, they don't have any data. They can't scan it, they can't try to do any of these things. They let it fly so they can then know everything that there is to know about that drone, and then the next time there's around, they're not gonna play that game. So it wasn't an armed drone, so they actually let it fly so they can launch their own airplane above it and then get all the radio frequencies, the EW systems that are on it, the network systems that are on it, everything, because it transmits. So with our capabilities or the U.S. capabilities, then they would have been able to pick up everything that drone has on board without touching the drone. So that's the only reason they didn't shoot it down. And that's what my friend that said he was in the Navy. He said multiple times when an adversary, do you think every time a Russian jet flies close to one of our bombers or one of our radar, early warning radar planes, why don't our F-22 shoot them down? Because we don't have to. It's like the U.S. is collecting data. If the U.S. wants to shoot somebody down or something down, like, people really are like so close-minded of what technology and capabilities the government has that it's like what you see on the internet is 25 mm-hmm. years old.
Right.
It's like what the U.S. can do to that drone or to that F-16. Like, the U.S. could have done something to that F-16 without even shooting it down. That F-16 would have caused the crash. Because you could have taken away all the navigation systems from the F-16 if it was in the range of one of these vessels. We know the EW systems that these vessels have. I don't, like, this is clearly not a U.S. vessel. This was clearly a propaganda video that somebody is pushing, saying...
Indisputable. That's like, that's just a fact at this point. Like, that's been confirmed. Also, that statement that you ended up saying earlier about Trump talking about, you know, Qatar funding terrorism for a very long time, that actually came from a 2017 speech.
So it's an old video. That's what I said. I didn't know if it was an old video or not.
Yeah, I had to find it and look it up. That's what I was doing when we were talking. It's a 2017 one. And it goes that far back. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go ahead and close out for the day. That meeting I told you about that I had at 8:30 actually ends up being in person. So now I've got to go in person.
Just
to this
real quick before
meeting.
You go, acknowledge Bull Magnet. He sent you $100 for your trip.
Dude. Bullet Magnet. Thank you very much, man. I
like
really appreciate that.
Five
you,
beers
Magnet.
In the Israeli price.
Is it five beer? Yeah, well, I didn't intend
no, I'm just joking.
There, so, yeah.
All right. I'll let you go now.
Thank
Cheers,
you,
guys.
Magnet.
Hope everyone
Thank
had a great
Texas
one. If you're not in the Discord yet, I don't know what you're doing with your life.
Right. I just dropped
come
a new
over
link
here
for the Discord.
And, yeah. Come on, guys. Come say hello.
Yep. Yep. All right, guys. Thank All you, guys. Right.
Cheers.
Everybody that came up today. Take care. Do, do, do. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining me for another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. I'll be back on later on this evening. What is it? 6 p.m. Central Standard Time is when I'm going to be there. In the meantime, enjoy this video of Tucker that I found. I mean, it is something else. It's AI, everyone calm down.